I was going to start up on the lectern, but okay, who knows where we're going to go with this. First of all, let's start with our Old Testament reading, Samuel. Just to recap, everybody wanted a king. Samuel said, don't pick one. Now they've got one and they don't like the king. And so now they want to replace the king. So we walk into this story, and Samuel is going to go visit this little town with Jesse, and Jesse has 8 sons. And people are afraid of Samuel because he's a prophet, and they're, you know, never welcomed. That's how prophets are. So they're not sure, and Samuel says to God, what am I going to do with this? And God says, take a heifer, poor heifer, take a heifer and go have a sacrifice, and that will kind of get you in the door, and the people won't be as nervous. So he does that. And he meets with Jesse, and he says, Jesse, you know, I want to see your sons, because the God has told me that one of your sons is going to be the new king. And Jesse brings out Eliab. Eliab is the oldest. He looks like the king. He actually looks like King Saul. He's tall and he's handsome. He looks like a king. So certainly he must be the king. And God says to Samuel, no. Samuel, I don't look at things the way you do, says God. I look at what's in people's hearts. So, sorry, Eliab, no. And then we get another son, and another son, and another son, until we're almost all out of sons, at least all of the sons that have been invited. So who's left? Little David. He's out with the sheep. Because in that time, he was the 8th son. He's not going to inherit anything except the sheep. So he has no thought or hope that any of this great inheritance of the kingdom or his father's estate is ever going to come to him. He's the 8th son. And he's an uninvited. And he stinks. And he's been hanging out with sheep. And so Samuel says, have I seen everybody? Well, there's David. Well, I want to see David. And here comes David. And David has red hair, and nobody in the family had red hair, obviously, and he had beautiful eyes. This is what it says in Scripture. We're not supposed to judge by the book, cover of the book, but here we are doing it again. You know, he's got red hair, and he's handsome, and he's got beautiful eyes, and he's the king. And what happens is that David is anointed by God. And it is in that anointing that smelly, youthful, stinky, dusty shepherd becomes a poet king. The uninvited, the forgotten, becomes the poet king. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about the gospel. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like, fill in the blank, there are a lot of them. So the problem is, we had this wonderful discussion at Sermon Circle, should we really use the word kingdom? Because kingdom doesn't really capture the word that has been used in Aramaic that we think Jesus said. It probably looks more like household, not kingdom. There are reasons why it probably was translated kingdom, because that's what people knew when they started talking about authority. But the kingdom of heaven is going to look a little different here. So let's just talk about empires. Are you ready? We live in the vestige of an empire. Our city is named after, right? And so the other day, Darcy and I are wandering around beautiful, beautiful Victoria. I'm very glad that we could have a queen and an empress of Canada, right? that we could name a city after. So I walked past the legislature building, and it's a beautiful building. It was built and opened right around the time that Victoria celebrated her 60th year as the Queen of Great Britain and Empress of India. 60 years, one woman. At the height of the British Empire, just a little fun fact here from Wikipedia, the British Empire had a quarter of the land mass of the world. The land mass. Think of all the continents. The British Empire was a quarter of that. So when they said the sun never sets on the British Empire, they were right. And in addition to a quarter of the land mass, there was about 20% of the world's population contained within the British Empire. Now, she had a job. And today, if you want to know the height of the British Empire, we got a building built at about the height of the British Empire in the Legislature Building. You know that beautiful staircase in the center that has gates in it and nobody uses? Do you know why? It's the Queen's staircase, or her representative. Now, Victoria never walked up that. And I'm not that much of a historian about that staircase, but maybe there's been a royal somebody go up and down it. I know that their representatives are a royal representative. My point is, it's a huge building, and all the rest of us common folk read stinky, smelly, forgotten, uninvited Davids go around the side to get into the building. It's a vestige of how we viewed the empire. There's nothing wrong with any of this. I'm just pointing out that we know this. So when we look at what did that look like in Rome, in Judea, they could hold out the coins if they could get one, and it had the emperor's face on it. When they walked down the street, they could see the Roman soldiers doing whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, and however they wanted, with impunity. They could see the standard of the empire. They were, I don't know, we'll just say 1,000 miles away from Rome, and yet they lived and breathed the empire. And the empire, if we think our legislative building has a special staircase for the Queen and her friends, Roman Empire had the same thing. The Roman Empire was not for the common person. The Roman Empire was exclusive. It was about people who had status and power and privilege. So when people thought of a king, they didn't necessarily think of rumply kings of Israel. They thought of the Roman Empire and the Roman Emperor. Not invited. That's how we are in the Roman Empire. Not invited. So what does Jesus say? The kingdom, household of God, is like a mustard seed. Not a gold coin, not with a person's face on it, not removed, not elite, not filled with a bunch of protocol. It's small, it's tiny, it's common, and anybody can have a mustard seed. That's the difference. The household of God is a mustard seed. For you and me, you see, the kingdom of God isn't something we attain beyond our reach. The household of God is here amongst us. It is common. It speaks of possibility. It speaks of an awareness that you and I, as brothers and sisters, can have. It is common. The household of God is here. and for all the Davids of the world and Davidettes who feel uninvited and who feel dusty and who feel stinky and who feel broken and who feel like they're never going to attain anything in this world, here is the good news. The household of God is for you and me, like the mustard seed. And the other parable teaches us that when the seed, no matter how small, is put into the earth and it is given a little water and a little sunshine, it grows, inevitably grows. So, in two parables, we are told this. The household of God is for all of us. And it is inevitable. It will grow. It will become a bush. It will become a place where birds can nest and pick branches out and build their nests. It will become seasoning for, you know, St. Patrick's Day corned beef. Okay, we skipped a few years there. But it is here. We don't have to think that we have to go up a fancy staircase to get to the kingdom of God. It is here, right now, with us, a mustard seed.